Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hello, and welcome to Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. My name is Laura Jackson.
And I'm Amanda Quinn.
And we are the Head Chicks here chatting with you today about a question that we got sent in a little while ago. And I was really happy to get this question because it's something I actually get asked a lot and I kind of forgot about it. So the question is, how do I get protein in my smoothies without adding protein powder? Amanda,
great
do you add
question.
I know. Do you add protein powder? Like, do you use protein powders?
So it depends. Currently right now I don't because I'm pregnant and it's not, it's just not ideal to use like protein powders or protein bars or anything like that. I don't eat any of that stuff. Like I try to not eat any chemical based stuff. I don't right now. Before I used to, but I always found that it made my stomach really bloated or sore or like made me feel kind of nauseous. So I just kind of stayed away from it most of the time.
Yeah. And that is actually even coming in the question from our listener. That was actually the reason why she sent it in was because she wanted another option for protein because all of the protein powders she's tried have made her bloated, gassy, and uncomfortable, which for anyone out there who's listening, that is not normal. I know many people, they'll eat things and they're like, oh, I'm so gassy. And then they don't even connect that should not be happening.
No, for me, it was like, it was less bloating. It was more like almost nauseous. Like I would actually have it. I'd put it in my green smoothie or whatever. And then I would literally not be able to physically do a workout or anything like that for about 45 minutes to an hour after, because I'd have to let it kind of digest or else it would make me feel sick.
Okay. So
that's what I was like, maybe I should not be doing that.
Well, what type of protein were you using?
Oh gosh. I've tried so many different ones, to be honest. I went with the Vega one for a while but I found that one too heavy. And then, oh my gosh, you're really testing me. I can't remember. So it was mostly whey proteins. And then I also tried not soy based. It's mostly whey proteins was the majority. Then I tried like the natural sort of no whey, the vegan ones, just to try to see if that would help. But I don't know. I just found that everything kind of made me feel a little nauseous. There's something in it that just doesn't work for me.
Okay. Well, this is good for a little preview to what we're going to talk about. And we'll get into all this in a little bit. But if you're out there and you're experiencing any of these issues, this is definitely a must listen for you. And even if you're not, this is a must listen for you because we have become a society that's very dependent on supplements. And protein powder is a supplement. It is not a food. When we say supplement, a supplement should be supplementing a really whole, really good whole food diet. And then, you know, in times of need, you utilize a supplement like.
So what you're saying that people shouldn't be living off of protein drinks and protein bars.
And shouldn't be having it every single day. Yeah. So let's just start off here with, what is protein powder? So when we talk about protein, and again, protein is a very hot word too, right now. Do you have enough protein? Do you get enough protein? Protein is basically one of the three macronutrients. So that means it's something our body needs in order to survive. It provides us calories, which calories are just energy. And we had one of our fitness and nutrition expert classes the other week, and I was talking a lot about, I brought up the definition of calories, and it's really funny when you start to talk about these things that we've attached so much emotion to in the words, like in their actual definitions, because calories are just, you know, the amount of energy it takes to heat water by 1 degree Celsius. And we've created this entire emotional attachment around the word calorie. So let's take our power back right now. We're not going to give any words any power. So when I say calories, I don't want anyone, as soon as they hear the word calories, thinking, oh my God, is this one of those calorie counting podcast because it's not. So proteins, though, they do provide calories to the body, which is just energy. But their main function is to build. And that's what they do within our body. Our body is constantly rebuilding itself. Our bones are rebuilding. Our hair is rebuilding. Our skin, our muscles. So we need proteins to go through that process. And proteins are made from what's called amino acids. There's amino acids, and then a part of those amino acids is called non-essential amino acids. So in total, I think there's like 24 amino acids. It depends what science book you read. Some say 22, some say 26. I usually go in between at 24. but out of those 24, there is 8 or 9, again, depending on what you read, that are non-essential. And non-essential just means that they cannot be made by the body. We have to get them from the food that we eat. So this is where protein powders kind of come into play. And I just want you guys to remember that as we kind of keep moving through, because it kind of is an important factor. But where protein powders come into play is that they help our bodies obviously rebuild. They provide the amino acids, but they are a dietary supplement. And they have been processed. So even though a lot of protein powders, they do come from whole food sources, because we've heard of whey protein, which comes from milk. We've heard of soy protein, which comes from soybeans, or hemp protein, which comes from hemp seeds. They do come from a whole food, but they're not a whole food themselves. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, for sure.
All right. So really,
and they're not a whole food, sorry, and they're not a whole food because they are processed, correct?
Yes. So yeah. A lot of times when we talk about processed foods, we think, oh, processed food is like a granola bar or chips or something that's, you know what I mean, really junky. But still, foods that seem to be whole foods can still be a highly processed food, which in
turn, like corn.
Exactly. Which in turn makes them a lot, they break down in our body a lot differently. Like I always say, Mother Nature, she knows what's up. Like when she created things as the perfect package. They're the perfect package of vitamins and minerals and digestive enzymes and all the things that our body needs to break it down.
So, and then we go in and mess it all up.
Yeah. So even though we are taking, let's say, you know, hemp protein, we're taking hemp seeds and we're just drawing out the protein portion of it and leaving the rest of it to sit somewhere else, our body is not used to just having that hemp protein on its own. It's used to having it with the, you know, the fats and all of the other things that are with the hemp. So that's why a lot of times we have a lot of reactions to it. So just kind of sticking on that, like they all go through a different process and it depends on what type of protein it is. So some of them go through like high heat drying. Some go through microfiltration. You'll see all these on like on the packaging and no one really knows what the heck it is. I don't even fully know what the heck it is. It's like acid extraction, ionization technique.
The water wash.
Yeah. Like, okay, great. Like, ooh, this is microfiltered alcohol washed. And you're like, okay, no idea what that is. And most people we don't question. And this is where we have to start getting more involved in questioning the things that we're putting in our bodies, because we just take what people tell us as that's good enough. And a lot of these powders are not passed through the FDA 100%. We do have some stricter laws in Canada, but there's a lot of things that the research is really only to a certain extent. So we don't really know what it is we're putting in our bodies. So they're all, it's extracted through this process. And like I said, there's quite a few different types. So this is why I asked you earlier, what was the type that was giving you, that you were having that was making you nauseous? So I'm a little bit different. I don't get nauseous from protein powder, but I can get super bloated. Like I'm not farty, gassy, but my stomach looks like I'm...
Like how I look right now, nine months like pregnant.
I'm probably about like 6 months pregnant. Like it's rock hard and it's just like, it's like, what the heck is going on? And you can always tell too when you're bloated. Like when people say, oh, my stomach hurts and they're rubbing like around their belly button, that's actually where your intestines are. That's not your stomach. Your stomach is actually up almost right under your boobs. So if you have-
I didn't, for some reason I didn't know that. And now I'm like, oh, my stomach was really hurting this morning. And it was right below my rib cage, like right in between like the two rib cages.
Yes.
So it really was my stomach. Okay, good.
Yeah. And a lot of times
my intestine, thank goodness.
But when it comes to, you know, a lot of times when everything is pretty much digested in our small intestine. I mean, the whole digestive process starts from mouth to bum, but a lot happens in your small intestine. So, and that's where a lot of the allergic reactions happen, or food intolerances. That's where they're kind of triggered from. So people are like, oh, I think I ate something bad. My stomach hurts. And they're rubbing their intestines. That's not their stomach. That's a different reason than just, you know what I mean? Than what happens in your stomach.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's why we need like lots of help. We need healthy guts to be able to break down all this stuff. But that's a different podcast.
Anyway, gut podcast coming up soon.
For me, I get super bloated, like really hard stomach. And that happens to me from whey protein. And whey protein is from milk. So there's two protein powders that come from milk. It's whey protein and casein. Whey protein is very quick digesting. And that's usually what people will drink after a workout session, because it quickly goes into the muscles. The body can really absorb it very quickly. Whereas casein is, it's slower digesting. So a lot of people will actually take casein more before they go to bed, because we know muscles are built in the bed. So a lot of times they'll have casein before they go to bed. It's also usually a lot more higher in calories and in fat, whereas whey protein is low in fat, low in carbohydrates, and just very high in protein.
Yeah, it's probably like, I feel like whey protein is probably the most popular in terms of like, if you go into like a nutrition store, or, you know, even at the grocery stores, like on the shelves and whatnot. I find it's like, I mean, the other ones are becoming more popular, especially like the hemp and the soy and whatnot. But I find that the whey protein is always kind of like the most dominant in terms of the market.
Especially in the mainstream, like supplement stores, when you're going to GNC or like, you know, the big tubs at Costco and all of these places where they sell powder supplements, a lot of times whey, it's also cheap. It's cheap to make, but also when things are cheap to make and people make a lot of it, it's usually cheap in quality. So there was actually a study that they did on protein powder that claimed to have 25 grams of protein per scoop. But when they actually analyzed the powder afterwards, it only had 10 grams because there were so much fillers in it.
What?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying when I'm saying, you know, like we need to get a lot more involved in looking into what we're spending our money on and putting in our bodies. Cause a lot of times, you know, you think you're getting the better deal because you're spending less money and getting more, but really you're not getting more because it's cut with other things. You're not getting the protein in it anyways. So, but yeah, so you're right. Like whey is one of the most popular, and it's also one of the most highest allergenic because it's dairy, and dairy is inflammatory. So a lot of people have allergies to it. It also can cause a lot of issues for people, even if they're not lactose intolerant. So some of the other ones that are really popular too is rice protein, pea protein, hemp protein, soy protein. Now they're coming at, they have a lot more egg white protein powders as well as,
right, I've been seeing those.
Yeah. As well as beef protein. They have a chocolate beef protein, which apparently is really good. It's a paleo version.
I don't believe it. I don't believe that it's delicious.
Yeah, like, but they all have different, they all have different tastes, different textures. They all have different purposes too. So when I'm kind of talking to somebody about, you know, picking a protein powder, the first thing I always ask is like, do you have any allergies? Because if you have any allergies, intolerances, anything that bothers you, a lot of times we're not putting those things together. So people won't drink milk, but then they're like, oh, I had a protein powder and I don't feel well, but they're not thinking, oh, the whey is milk, right? Mm-hmm. So right away, think about, you know, what do you eat that bothers you, or, you know, do you have any allergies? Secondly is, what are you using it for? What nutritional strategy are you using it for? So is it to build muscle? If it's to build muscle, then I would go with the whey protein because it's the easiest absorbed by the body. But if you are someone who is vegan, vegetarian, then, obviously if you're vegan, if you're vegetarian, a lot of vegetarians have milk products, but if you are vegan, you don't have any animal products. So you would go for a different type of, protein powder, which I would then recommend more of a blend. So sometimes like the Sun Warrior blend, There's also one that it's a mix of brown rice. I think it's hemp seed and something else. But they're slower to uptake because, you know, how I was saying about how, you know, the whey protein is, it has the carbohydrates and the fat taken out. And it's just the protein. Well, when you have plant-based, a lot of times they're higher in carbohydrates and fiber, which slows down their digestion. So you're not getting that uptake of to your muscles as quickly.
Oh, right. But a lot of times, is it true too that plant-based proteins are usually a little bit less inflammatory as well?
Yeah. So that's where, I mean, again, there's like pros and cons for each of them, right? Like animal protein, like we aren't just what we eat, we are what we can absorb. So animal protein, they're complete proteins. So now this is where I, when I was saying about those non-essential amino acids, and I was like, just remember this because later on we're going to mention it. When we talk about a complete protein, it means it has a complete profile of all of those essential amino acids. So when we have animal protein, it's close to our body. So we get all of those essential amino acids from it. Our body knows kind of a little bit more what to do with it. I will probably, by saying that, get a lot of backlash and people being like, no, plant protein is totally the way to go. But that's the research that I have always seen, is that good quality animal proteins, it's easier for the body to absorb. I'm just talking about the protein.
Right.
However, animal proteins are higher, they're higher inflammatory. So that means they cause inflammation in the body. And when your body's inflamed, it doesn't operate as well. So we're plant proteins, you might not be getting as much of the protein, but they're non-inflammatory, so you're getting the benefits of that. So it's kind of like, again, it's this pick and choosing game of what it is, how your body responds.
Choose your battles.
Exactly. What your goals are, how your body responds. You know, some people might have barely any inflammatory response to animal proteins, and some might have a huge response to it. So that's where you got to listen to your body. But just going back to when I was talking about the questions to ask people. So, you know, number one, does anything bother you? Do you have any food intolerances? Two, what are you using it for? Is it for muscle building? Number three, also, what are you using it for in terms of consumption? So is it in your protein shake, or are you using it to bake? Are you using it to make protein pancakes? Because that's where some of the plant-based ones really come in, and they're really awesome because they bake better than a lot of the whey proteins. So if you were going to do like protein pancakes, pea protein is really good in different baking, things like that. So,
interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, again, depending on what you're using things for, you're going to switch up. They all have different kind of digestive elements. They all have different ways that they are when they're cooked. And there's a lot of back and forth too that, you know, should you heat protein powder? Because is it going to denature it? Which means, you know, break the proteins and make them non-absorbable. And there's studies for both. There's some say that even blending denatures it, and there's some say that it doesn't. So, I mean, again, you got to pick your battles.
Right.
But when you're looking for any of those though, and this might be what's causing your nausea as well, it could also be like a food intolerance to do with whatever it is that you're having, what types you're having.
Yeah.
But it could also be, a lot of them have added artificial sweeteners. Not just aspartame, but a lot of different artificial sweeteners that end up causing bloating, gut discomfort, nausea.
So that's something. It could very well be that, for sure. I've just stopped altogether having any of those right now, but I'm going to have to do some investigation once post-baby.
Well, yeah, and that's where, you know, it's funny because when people are pregnant, they tend to eat their cleanest, right? And they tend to feel their best a lot of the time. And if any food is causing you discomfort, you shouldn't just avoid it because you're pregnant. You should probably avoid it all the time because your body is talking to you. Your body's telling you, like, this is not working for me. So it's better for you probably just to, you know, if you eat a varied whole food diet and you're getting enough protein, you don't need the protein powder. Protein powder is just a supplement, right?
No, for sure. The only time, I mean, I would only use it was just like if I was traveling or if I was like in a really big rush and I knew that I wouldn't have time for lunch. Like I literally didn't use it every day. I would use it more as like a supplemental meal replacement when required.
Yeah, and that's why, like, for all of our listeners out there, and we are going to get to the top five things you can add to your smoothies that are not in powder form, so you can still get your protein in. If you're just completely saying no to the protein powders moving forward, or you're having too much of them, you want to reduce. But I am pro protein powder. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong if you find one that A, works for your body, B, that's a good quality and actually is absorbable. Like, you're not just buying the big tub at Costco. And also you're making sure you're really reading the labels and getting one that doesn't have the artificial sweeteners, doesn't have a ton of other chemicals. Like, you've really got to read the labels when it comes to this. And I always say too, like, if you're afraid of reading the labels or you really don't know any of this stuff, which is totally okay, which is the majority of us, this is how I learned. I just started going into the supplement store and asked the guy. I was at, in Canada, it's called Popeyes, and it's basically just like a sports supplement store. And they have like probably 200 brands of protein powder. So I walked in there, I was like totally overwhelmed. I had no idea what type of protein powder I wanted. The only thing I knew was I wanted one that did not have artificial sweeteners. Like, that was my 100%. And then I was open to kind of going either way or plant-based or, you know. So the only, like, prerequisite I had was no artificial sweeteners. Out of 200 protein powders, he brought me two.
That's crazy.
And these two were sweetened with stevia, which stevia is actually a leaf. It's natural. It's a lot of people don't like it though, because it does have a little bit more of a tinny taste, but now they're coming out with things like monk fruit and other natural sweeteners that don't have any calories in them, because I want to keep my carbohydrates low in my protein powder, but I wanted, you know, obviously it to taste good. I didn't want a plain one. I wanted like a vanilla or a chocolate. But yeah, out of 200, there was two that didn't have, like, I can't ever, acephalosamine or whatever the heck it's called, aspartame, even some were sweetened with Splenda. Like, it was crazy. So yeah, make sure that you are looking into this stuff. But okay, so that's if you're getting the protein powder. Now, if you are trying to reduce the amount of protein powder, or you are not, or you're trying to get off the protein powder, like, for example, with you, because you're pregnant, these are some things that you can add to your smoothies. So what do you usually have in your smoothies?
So right now, I pretty much go with a banana, obviously, because you know how much I love bananas. I can't help myself.
They're delicious.
So usually a banana, some kale, or some frozen spinach, depending on what I have in house, kind of thing. Some unsweetened almond milk. And then sometimes I'll add like a nut butter into it. So it'll just be like almost like a peanut butter banana kind of smoothie. And then sometimes berries, but it depends. It kind of depends on what I'm really looking for, but it's pretty basic. Like, I don't go crazy with my smoothies. I keep them pretty basic. And then, I usually add some flax seeds as well.
No, and that's a really good, like, right there, what you said is a really good balanced non-protein powder, but protein filled smoothie. And most people would not even think that, because we automatically associate protein with meat, fish, eggs, and dairy. Right.
Right.
So we don't think of a lot of the other plant-based things. So, like, even what you said right there is awesome, because they all complement each other.
So, and they taste delicious.
They taste delicious. Those things are not on our list. So I've got five things. The number one food to get protein in your smoothie without adding powder that I actually love, and so many people don't do, is adding beans or chickpeas.
Come on, really?
Oh, yeah. So I kind of go rule of thumb by color. So if I'm doing a chocolatey smoothie, I will do a black bean. And if I'm doing a vanilla-based kind of smoothie, I will do usually a chickpea or a white bean. But beans or chickpeas, they actually have 19 grams of protein in half a cup.
Like, no, I know they're like protein-packed. I would just never think to put beans in my drink. I don't know.
Well, they make it
but I just I never thought of it.
Yeah, they make the texture very smooth and silky. They add a ton of protein. They add a ton of fiber. And they're cost effective, right? Like, we're all about healthy on the cost effective. Like, that's why we talk about things to do with, you know, frozen fruits and buying, like we talked about, like the Flip app in one of our past podcasts about, you know, getting things on sale. Like, healthy eating should not be expensive. It should be available to everybody. And this is a really cost effective way that everyone can get in a lot of protein and a lot of fiber. That's all natural and that's not animal based. So think, you know, give it a try. Anyone who's listening, if you're doing a chocolate smoothie, throw in half a cup of black beans. If you're doing a vanilla one, throw in half a cup of chickpeas and see how you like it. I bet it's delicious.
I might consider it.
Yeah, try it.
I know.
Very overlooked. The next
one. I just have to think about how I'm going to creatively mix it in, but I'm going to try it. I might start with a quarter of a cup just to be
safe. Well, and the thing I like with beans as well is, like, I have a Vitamix blender, which is like a massive turbo, high powered, expensive blender. But I've also been doing smoothies for a very long time. So it was something I purchased once I knew I was really into the habit. But when you're using a cheaper blender, the thing is they don't blend things up as smooth. So if you're doing like a kale smoothie, a lot of times it'll be chunky. Like right now, my boyfriend has like a magic bullet, and to try to make smoothies in that, it's like chunky. Like, it's so different. I forget because I'm so used to my Vitamix, and I'm like, oh, even baby spinach, which is one of the easiest things to blend, becomes super chunky. So the thing with the beans and the chickpeas is they're very soft and easy to break down. So they become, even if you have a cheaper blender, they're a really good addition.
All right.
Then number two of our foods to get protein in your smoothies without adding powder is chia seeds. And that's why when you said flax seeds, I was like, such an awesome thing too. The reason why I put chia seeds on this list though over flax seeds is because flax seeds, you need to grind them.
Yeah.
You do not grind them. If you just put the seeds in and you don't have a good blender that won't blend them up, all they're going to do that, they're just going to pass through and come back out in your poop.
Yeah, no, I don't. I know that. And I know that you shouldn't buy the ones that are already pre-ground.
Yes.
I remember that from one of our podcasts previously. I think it was our fat podcast.
Yes.
But with the chia seeds, my problem with the chia seeds is that they, because they create that like gelatinous sort of texture, I just find if I don't like, just like, you know, get it in right away and drink it really fast, it becomes too thick and like jello-y for me. And I just can't do it.
But most things when it comes to smoothies, you should drink them right away. Like, you shouldn't make them and then transport them for a long period of time.
For sure.
It'll change their taste, but you're so right. Like, chia seeds, but flax seeds will kind of have the same if you leave them for a long period of time. It's because they're a soluble fiber. And for anyone who doesn't know soluble fiber, you can learn about that from our fiber podcast. Soluble fiber, it's the fiber, there's soluble fiber and insoluble fiber. It's the one that slows down your digestion, whereas insoluble fiber speeds it up because it gives bulk to your poo. Insoluble, it slows down the way things are digested and it turns to like mucilaginous-y jello kind of in your stomach, and it's very healing to your gut and things like that. But yeah, it's really, really good in not only, again, the fiber, but the protein. 3 tablespoons has 10 grams of protein.
That's crazy.
And if you don't like the chia seeds though, you can also do hemp seeds. The reason though why I picked chia, like I said, is because hemp seeds, you don't have to break them down either. Flax seeds you do, but chia, I just like that it has that mucilaginous effect because I think it's really, really good for your digestive tract. Okay, number three, top five foods to get your protein in your smoothies without adding powder. Amanda.
Is oats.
Yay!
And I do actually like adding oats. I did forget about that. I do add oats sometimes to my, I eat a lot of oats throughout my diet, like just in regular basis, but I do add them into my smoothies from time to time as well.
And it's funny because a lot of people think of oats
as just a carb.
It's just a hard carb, or as just, you know, oatmeal, for breakfast. Yeah. And there's so many other uses for oats. They're kind of a magic food. You can, you know, put them into a nylon and put them in your bath as a bath soak, and will make your skin come out like butter. Like, your skin will be so soft. It's, again, very high in fiber, very high in soluble fiber. There's a lot of great things about oats. So it's almost like taking your oats that you were going to have for breakfast and just put them into your smoothie. And that way, you know, because a lot of times we're drinking smoothies out of convenience because we don't have time to make food. We're just throwing things in. Mm. And it's also a great way to use up if you have extra steel cut oats, if you've done like a big batch in your slow cooker, to get rid of them, as opposed to, you know, some people like me, I don't like things reheated a lot. Like, I would rather make everything fresh as opposed to eat things reheated. So for me, like, second day oatmeal, I'm like, ugh.
See, I'm the opposite. I'm like all about like batch cooking and just eating like the same thing every day for 5 days. It doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, like, I like batch prepping. And then if I'm going to have, like, I can't have cold chicken in my fridge that's been there for like 3 days.
Oh, I can totally. I'm all about it. I'm like, oh, baby. I'm all about convenience. I think I'm just all about convenience. That's why.
No, but it's good though. I mean, we've all got to do whatever works for us, right?
For sure.
So number four, so far we have our beans or chickpeas, chia seeds, and oats. Number four is actually pasteurized egg whites. So this is one that I totally recommend when you're having eggs to usually eat them as the whole egg, because I always say Mother Nature, perfect package. She knows that's the way it's made. It's supposed to be eaten as a whole. But there's been a lot of studies that show that we really can easily digest and uptake the protein in the egg whites. So if you buy, like, for example, when you go to the grocery store, if you go into the egg section, a lot of times they have the cartons of egg whites. And actually, yeah, on the carton of egg whites, there is a recipe for smoothies. And they're pasteurized.
Really?
Yeah. So
interesting.
They're pasteurized. So they've been heated and to kill any germs. Even though, I mean, I'm on the side that I would eat a raw egg. I wouldn't promote everyone doing that because, you know, obviously I have to give a disclaimer that you could get salmonella, but pasteurization, it kills a lot of the good enzymes as well. So that's why, you know, raw milk is illegal, but a lot of people still have it on like the black market because you can still get a lot of nutrients from it. So I would personally put a full egg in my smoothie, but for the sake of this, I would just say go with the pasteurized egg whites, and half a cup has like 20 grams of protein.
That's crazy. I can't believe that you would actually have a raw egg.
Oh, yeah. It's just really so creamy and delicious. I just always think about it like this. If you eat mayonnaise.
Which I don't.
Mayonnaise is just essentially a whipped up eggs.
Yeah.
Like, it's the egg yolks and they're raw.
That's probably why I don't like mayonnaise, because I don't like eggs.
Yeah, like, they're not, it's not cooked. And a lot of times when you're making any type of salad dressings, like Caesar salad dressing, you put whole eggs in that and they're not cooked. So it's kind of the same thing. You're just mixing up in a different way.
Oh, huh. Good way to think of it. All right. What is the number five? What is the fifth thing that people can add to their smoothies without having to add protein powder? To add protein without adding protein powder.
The last one is Greek yogurt. Always organic if possible. And again, dairy, not everyone agrees with dairy. So, if you have any type of intolerances or if it causes you bloating, then, you know, again, go for one of the other options because that's your body telling you, I don't like this. But half a cup has 18 grams of protein in it, and it's very easy to add to your smoothies. And if you go for, there's all these 0% fat Greek yogurts. They do have a 5% one in Canada, which I would recommend a little bit more, and it tastes a lot better. It's a lot creamier. But, you know, it's, again, it depends on kind of what you want to use it for, because when you just want the protein from something, Greek yogurt's really great because it is, if you go for the 0%, because it's lower in the fat, you just get a lot of the protein and there's not a lot of carbohydrates in it. Mm-hmm. But just in terms of like any type, I think the 5% is lower, is even lower in sugar. So, again, Greek yogurt, if you can handle it, then I personally think it's a great addition.
Can I just add to that, though, that I think one of the things that I see often, and this is not even just with clients, but even with, like, my mom, yeah, I'm calling her out, when she makes her smoothies before, when she made them, not now, because I had a chat with her, but she would put literally like half a tub of Greek yogurt into her smoothies. Now, the thing is that, and I could be wrong, but in my mind, it's meant to be just, you're meant to put in a small amount to add the protein. So whatever the calling is, so if it's like half a cup or a quarter of a cup, you don't need to put an entire container into it, because that's just going to be like a huge amount of calories. And just like, it ends up becoming just like a big, almost like a dessert as opposed to like a smoothie. Do you agree or disagree?
Oh yeah. And that's with anything. I mean, too much of a good thing is still too much. You know, you want to make sure that you are still looking at your portion sizes. And it doesn't mean you need to grab out the measuring cup for everything that you're doing. Because once you kind of measure things once or twice, you get an idea of how much it is.
But for sure.
Even, like when I look at a tub of Greek yogurt, let's say it's 500 grams for a smaller tub. And when you read the nutrition label, it'll say, 175 grams or 125 grams is half a cup. So I just in my brain divide 500 grams in the total tub by 125. And I know in that tub, there's 4 servings. So I just kind of eyeball out that I should be able to use this 4 times. You know what I mean?
No, for sure.
Easy thing to do. I just think with anyone, going back to our complete and three rule, you always want a protein, fiber, and fat in your smoothies. And you want to focus on the portion control. Like you can't just be loading up on another one is bananas. And I know you love them, but they're massively high in sugar and starch. So yes, they're a natural food and they're great, but you don't want to be having them every single day in your smoothie. You want to be adding variety, maybe have half a banana every second day and use something else. So it's one of those things. It's just making sure that you're kind of rotating and watching the portion size and then balancing it out with the protein, the fiber, and the fat.
For sure.
Okay. So to wrap this up, and I know we talked about a lot of different things with protein powders, and I hope this gave you guys some really great insight into a kind of what protein powders might be for you, whether that be, if you're using them for a specific goal or you're just using them for convenience, but, some different options as well as to how to select some foods that you can still get protein from without using the powder, because they are a supplement. And that's where I kind of want to wrap it up on, is kind of our stance is that, even though we are pro protein powder, if you are crunched for time or if you're traveling, like Amanda, you were saying, like when you travel, that's when you mostly have it. Or if you're in a rush, it's good, good quality protein powder as a go-to, as a backup, because I'd rather people be utilizing a supplement that's a good quality protein powder than just, you're starving and you're grabbing a processed muffin that's full of crap. So it's a good thing.
Exactly. It's like the better of the evils, in a sense, if you want to say it's evil, but do you know what I mean? Like, it's almost like I see it as it's a healthier, better option if I can't fit in my actual meal.
Yeah. To supplement your, and also it's, to get in, you're obviously going to drink it with other things if you're doing it in a smoothie. So you're going to get a ton of fiber and you're going to get a ton of vitamins and minerals and nutrients. So if you're crunched for time, yes, go for the protein powder. Make sure though that you've researched what is in the protein powder. So you know that there's no artificial sweeteners and you know that it's not packed full of chemicals. And the best way to do that is to go and talk to somebody at the supplement store. A lot of people who work at supplement stores are actually nutritionists. A lot of them are holistic nutritionists and they have a very wide background in not only protein powders, but a lot to do with the specific vitamins and minerals that you might be wanting to add in, like, or have in your protein powder. So they could recommend some really good ones based on your needs, your goals. So utilize them and they're free. That, it's a free resource for you. So make sure that you're researching it and you're picking one that is quote unquote clean, even though I hate that word, but it's not full of chemicals and processing. But then of course we always want to start by focusing on getting your protein needs from whole foods. That's where we always want to start from. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, I mean, they don't even necessarily need a protein powder because they usually do get enough protein within their day. But if you do have a goal like building muscle, you might need a little bit of extra protein, and it's hard to eat that much protein. So that's another time that you might need a protein powder. Other than that, use it as kind of like your safety net in days that you don't have time to get things in. Or try one of our 5 protein sources that are just as quick and easy to throw into your smoothies.
Exactly.
Okay, Amanda, what's your biggest takeaway from today?
I actually have 2. So I have one takeaway and then one thing that I just wanted to add in that I forgot to add in earlier. So the thing I forgot to add in earlier is one of the things for me that I really struggled with when it came to like making smoothies and whatnot as well, when I was using it more as like a supplement for like my breakfast, is that I never felt like it was enough. Like, it's almost like a mental thing where if I actually wasn't chewing food, I didn't feel like I had breakfast. So I would always still feel hungry, even though I had enough calories and, you know, vitamins and everything else in the smoothie. I would still, in my brain, and it just wouldn't satisfy me. So if you are listening and you struggle with that same thing, one of the things that I did was, in order to be able to kind of balance that out and still be able to get in my greens and everything else within my smoothie, but then also not have that same feeling of like feeling unsatisfied, I actually cut my smoothie down to half of the amount. I didn't cut the greens. I kept them the same. But in terms of like all the extras, so like any almond milk or anything else, I cut it into half of the portion that I normally used to use. And then I would eat a side of something so that I would still have that like, I'm eating something, but then I'm also still getting full, because it was totally like a mental thing. But I know a few people, and I've talked to some people about this, and they've had the same issues where they just don't feel satisfied from it. So maybe try that as a trick. That's just my little added thing that I meant to mention earlier. And then I think my biggest takeaway too from this is just what we were talking about in the very beginning, which is if you are using any, whether it's a protein powder or any of these alternatives, listen to your body. And, you know, if you are feeling bloated or you're feeling nauseous, like I was feeling nauseous, know that that's not normal. You shouldn't feel that way. Like, it shouldn't make you feel like you're going to like throw up after you have something. So if that is the case, identify with what it is that is causing that, and then try to figure out an alternative.
Yeah. And just to add to that too, like all of those types of protein powders I listed, the whey, the rice, the soy, the brown, they even have now some black bean protein powders. They have egg, they have beef, they have so many different options. So if you just have tried brown rice and it really disturbs your digestion, you know, give it a go with something else instead of just totally writing it off, because it might just be that one specific type. So, but like you said, listen to your body, like don't keep having it just because somebody said, oh, it's good to take protein powder.
Or because you bought it. Yeah, exactly. And you feel like you have to. Yeah,
exactly. I don't know how many times that I've actually done that before too. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so gassy. I'm like, I paid $20 for this. I'm going to keep on eating it. And I'm like, oh my God. And my biggest takeaway from today is, two, just looping back to what we said at the beginning, is just, again, protein powder is a supplement to a real whole food diet. I think that we are so reliant now on quick fixes that it disconnects us from our food and disconnects us from our body, like you were just saying. So I think by just, again, shifting the mindset around certain things like protein powder, use it to supplement a good diet. Don't use it as a food in your diet. And then you're going to be totally fine. So always start with the real whole foods. Okay. So with that, we're going to wrap it up. So thank you guys for listening today. I hope this gave you some great insights. If you have any questions, comments, have any topics you want us to cover, you can email us at info@fitchicks.ca. We also have some awesome courses that are coming up, some certification courses with our Fitchicks Academy, one called the Natural Weight Loss Coach, which is an 8-week certification covering all things from a lot of stuff we talked about today, but from nutrition, digestion, hormones, food intolerances, and so much more, to really help get your body in balance and lose weight in a natural way and help your clients lose weight in a natural way. And then we also have our flagship program, our Fitness and Nutrition Expert certification, that's coming again in April. We have an awesome crew who's rocking it right now and getting certified. And it's a great, great, great program for anyone who is already teaching and looking to take their teaching to the next level, or who is not yet certified and looking to get into the field. We cover a lot of information. So you can find more about that at fitchicksacademy.com. And of course, hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We would love to hear from you. Okay, have a fantastic day.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.